Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. Jim Masters here. Pleasure to have you with us today, 11 a.m. Eastern, here at the Broadcast Center. And it is Tuesday, January 15th, 2019. Always a pleasure to have you with us. And we thank you from around the world tuning in to our broadcast. You can also find us on our archives as well. All of the broadcasts that we do live are also recorded and archived and available 24/7, 365 on demand for your listening pleasure. Today we're spotlighting Wilfred Brewer. Wilfred is the founder and president of Performance Solutions Group Incorporated, PSG, an exceptional boutique consulting firm based in Stamford, Connecticut. You know, strong leadership is critical for businesses to be profitable and successful over the long term. It also means meeting the needs of customers or clients. When organizations lack leadership, management, and the proper tools, important and exceptional coaching and consulting is needed to provide the guidance and expertise for that organization, its leaders, managers, team members, to bottom line, meet their goals. Now, Will works both domestically and internationally. The core of his coaching is focused on leadership and management. It begins with understanding the strategic plan of the organization dynamics, including organization structure, direct reports, peer and manager relationships, and how to manage and coach executives and senior managers to achieve their goals. Prior to starting PSG in 2006, Will was COO of Performance Management Incorporated. He's a chartered accountant with an MBA in economics, honors degree cum laude. He has lectured in compensation and performance management at the Stern School of Business at New York University. He was also treasurer of the Southern Connecticut chapter of SHRM for 8 years, and has served on committees of ADT, which is the Association for Development. According to Will, a major part of the coaching assignment is meeting those who work closely with the coachee, the direct reports, the peers, manager, and internal customers. They're all stakeholders. And the approach is to asking the probing and relevant questions which lead to identification of both strengths to leverage and the areas for improvement to be addressed. It's our honor to have him here on the show. The other thing that's really important too is emotional intelligence. You've probably heard a lot about that recently. The capacity to manage one's emotions so that one can manage relationships more effectively, that is also essential. We're very honored again to welcome Will Brewer. He is a founder and president of Performance Solutions Group, this exceptional boutique consulting firm in Connecticut. Will, thank you very much for joining us here on CUTV News Radio Live. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us on the broadcast today, and we welcome you to the show on CUTV News Radio Live.
Well, thank you very much, Jim, and a pleasure to be with you and to be with your audience.
We appreciate
that.
And
I think you covered a lot of key things.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and sort of sets the stage for us for our in-depth conversation today. Tell us about Performance Solutions Group and the creation of it and some of the incredible and vital work that you do.
Well, I like what you said about incredible and vital work. I'd like to consider it that. We're actually all about performance and productivity. That's really the essence of it. And that really is the essence of our coaching and consulting services. And I mention consulting because we continue to do a lot of consulting in addition to the executive coaching. And ultimately, the coaching is all about improving performance and productivity of the coachee. It applies not only to the performance metrics of the coachee, but our focus as an executive coach, my focus would be on the ability of an individual to lead, to manage, to work effectively with the executives, managers, employees, and of course the stakeholders in that business. To your point about what are we about as Performance Solutions Group, we actually evolved from being a company focused on performance management and pay-for-performance compensation, which are really totally integrated. So we moved to training leaders and managers in performance management, again with a focus on the coaching skills and emotional intelligence, which is required to effectively manage performance. So the evolution continued. We went from training to being asked by clients in those training sessions to coach their executives, and applying the same principles that were applied that were demonstrated in the training. I would say the additional boost that I got was really being certified by Marshall Goldsmith, stakeholder-centered coaching, and I believe that Marshall was actually on your show about 6 months ago, and he is, of course, regarded as the leading coach of Fortune 500 CEOs. So coaching is a major part of our business. We continue to conduct the 360-degree reviews, basically reviews from managers, directors, peers, about the leadership and management competencies of individuals, and that, of course, requires feedback and coaching. We also do team coaching, where we have diagnostic interviews with team members. We conduct behavioral assessments, and I actually run surveys on leadership working effectively as a team, which is a whole other area because often doesn't happen in organizations. We also provide services in organization development and strategic planning, and probably the prime example of that is the work that we did in Saudi Arabia, where we developed the organization structure and HR infrastructure for the King Abdullah University for Science and Technology in Jeddah and the King Abdullah Petroleum Studies and Research Center. That's a bit of a mouthful. It's called CAPSARC, and that's a Riyadh-based think tank. And the strong focus was on strategic issues. What are those organizations going to look like in 5 years' time? So I would say that pretty much gives some idea as to the nature and scope of what we do in Performance Solutions.
You had mentioned Marshall Goldsmith, and I second your emotion. He really is a master of his craft and an amazing individual. Interviewed him just a few weeks ago recently again, and then about a year or so prior to that. And then we had him in our television studio and did a full TV video interview with him as well. And we've actually become dear friends, and we're in communication often. He and I, and he's just really an amazing individual. So to have the influence and connection with him, it is really a total benefit. Now, for you, focusing on, you know, the incredible mastery of your craft as well, Will, when you look back at the journey of creating the company prior to creating the company, and you look at your own life's journey, some of the things that inspired you and influenced you to want to follow the path and the direction of coaching and consulting and assisting others, where do you think that inspiration initially came from early on for you that led to then creating the company as well?
Well, you gave a little bit of background on my academic career. And I actually went from business school straight into consulting. I joined the professor of marketing who had taught me during the course of that program, and he had actually been a consultant at McKinsey. I continued with him for a few years, and then we immigrated from South Africa in 1977, and I was sponsored at the time by Deloitte & Touche. I joined their consulting division. They are now, of course, Deloitte. So it's no longer Deloitte & Touche. And after 2 years in consulting there, I decided I wanted to run a business. So I actually started a business with a college classmate in the construction industry, believe it or not. And we were actually selling and distributing specified construction materials to the industry and took the company national with distribution all over the U.S., but my real love was consulting. I felt that the line experience was excellent, and I then joined the consulting practice of a close friend of mine, as COO, and then left from there to start Performance Solutions Group in 2006. So let me just say this, the inspiration is that I love doing what I'm doing, and I'd like to think that keeps me inspired, and I'd like to think that that inspiration is a motivator for my clients.
Exactly. That's exactly the key. If you love what you're doing, it's not work, it's effortless, and it shows, and people can easily pick up on the authenticity of it, that you really care and you really want to help them and want to guide them. And in order to be a coach or consultant, that has to be in the DNA. And obviously for you, it is a part of who you are. And that's why, you know, you're so successful at what you do, and people come to you for these services that you're known for. Why do you feel, you know, meeting with those who work closely with the coachee is really essential to the overall coaching effectiveness, Will?
That really is an excellent question, and it gets to the heart of what makes for successful coaching, really. Firstly, individuals and the coachee in particular have their own perceptions of their strengths and, of course, the areas for improvement. We find that that doesn't always correspond to the perceptions of others, and particularly others who work closely with that individual in the business environment. So we're talking about their direct reports, their peers. Often it's internal customers. Sometimes it's even external customers where relevant. The direct reports and peers typically won't provide the honest, maybe honest isn't the right word, but the open, really, and professional critique of an executive's leadership and management style. From the point of view of direct reports, there's the possibility of some fear of retribution. Whether it's mild or extreme, one doesn't really know. And for peers, it's not always, people don't always consider it their place to tell somebody what's not working. I mean, one gets into those conflict situations, but typically it's not going to be a constructive professional type of discussion. Normally, I like to start with the manager, who's often involved in initiating the coaching program. So it's important to understand his or her concerns and issues about the individual, and in some cases, it's not necessarily concerns or issues. It could be preparation for promotion, for next position, and just the opportunity of growing professionally. At the same time, there could be potential derailers. So those are all aspects one has to understand, and one also wants to understand a manager's perception of what the expected outcome would be for the coachee. The other thing that comes to mind, though, is that there are often problems with the coachee's manager, who by definition should be the coach of the coachee. That is a manager's job, to be a coach for the people who report to him or her directly. So one of the problems I frequently find is that managers fail to coach. And having said that, they often fail when they do coach, either because they don't have the skills or they're unable to deliver the negative feedback in a constructive way. And people tend to be conflict-averse, and they beat around the bush, and they don't really give the clear messages. So in any event, important to meet with a manager, with the people who work most closely. It means that I can probe and explore, truly understand the leadership and management style of the coachee. And I talk about meeting with those individuals as opposed to the classic online 360-degree review type of survey, which doesn't really give the opportunity for probing. So what I'm really trying to find out is what works and what doesn't work. In those interviews, people do share their real perceptions. It's a safe environment, and often it's an opportunity for people to share genuine concerns, which are always positioned or managed by me to be constructive. When the diagnostics are reported, the themes are summarized, capture the strengths to be leveraged, and I do emphasize strengths to be leveraged because that's obviously important to people's success. And then, of course, the opportunities for improvement, which is really the focus of the coaching. I also find that the perceptions of direct reports are often different to peers and often different to managers, because some people are very effective at managing up, maybe not quite as effective as managing down, and sometimes not very good managing laterally with their peers or internal customers. So I think that gives some insight into why it's important to work closely with those, or to meet with those who work closely with the coachee.
Absolutely. Now, something called successful diagnostics comes into play here as well as part of the process. How do you define, Will, what successful diagnostics actually means?
Extremely important. Thank you for asking that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let me just add to the fact that we did talk about the meetings, the in-person meetings with individuals who work with the coachee. I also use assessments to be able to understand the behavioral profile of the coachee. In other words, and I use a program called DISC, the EQ, emotional quota, which measures emotional intelligence. And then I also use a StrengthsFinder assessment to get a read on the profile of strength of the individual. We'll talk more about the emotional intelligence perhaps a little later when it comes up. But the importance of that is that the assessments always substantiate the findings, and I do say always. They're objective. They are self-assessments filled in or completed by the coachee, so there's no bias or reflection on other people's opinions. And as I said, those typically support the findings that come up with in the diagnostic interviews. Importantly, as a result of those diagnostics, both coach, in other words, myself and the coachee, have a clear understanding of the areas of focus. What are we going to work on? We develop the coaching goals, which are the really address the intended outcomes of the process. The other thing that's extremely important is that I get to understand the organization. The coachee works in an environment, the organization. I want to talk to the individuals working with the coachee. I want to see what their roles, their working roles and responsibilities are. Frequently, issues are raised during the coaching sessions which relate to these individuals. So it's important to know what they do, who they are. It just makes for much more personal contact. It makes for better understanding. There's also something called organization dynamics. What works in the organization? How does it function? How do people work together? There are operating issues facing the business. Important to understand those because that's the frame of reference for the coachee. And then, of course, I mentioned that bad word, politics. There's always some politics. So all of that impacts the coachee. All of that is part of successful diagnostics.
There's also emotional intelligence, which is really important. And I highlighted that a little bit in the introduction. People may be sort of familiar with it, and maybe they're hearing it on the periphery. Define emotional intelligence.
Just for 1 second, there were a couple more things that I wanted to say about the diagnostic, if that's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
What flows from that is that one works through that report with the coachee, and it really helps the individual to understand some of the constructive criticisms. It also means that we can develop a work plan. We work out the 4 or 5 key behaviors or competencies that need attention. We work through the assessments together. I talked about substantiating the findings. And the other thing that's very important, and we both talked about Marshall Goldsmith, in fact, his whole philosophy is to have stakeholder-centered coaching, and I followed that religiously. So we appoint 4 to 6 trusted and objective colleagues. They could be direct reports or peers. We get feed forward from them on a regular basis. We get constructive comments, which keep the coachee on track. And the other thing is that I conduct, based on those findings from the diagnostics, a mini 360 on the designated behaviors that we've determined to work on, just to be able to measure progress. So I think that gives a better sense of the importance of the diagnostics. So sorry to have interrupted,
nice.
And let's go on to the next.
Yeah, no, it's good to get it all in there because there's a purpose for it all, and it all flows and threads together beautifully. Emotional intelligence, sort of teasing there a little bit. Why is it important in your coaching assignments, and how do you define emotional intelligence?
I think in the introduction, Jim, you gave a pretty good definition, which was that it's emotional intelligence, the ability to manage one's emotions so that one can manage relationships more effectively. And the importance of that is that when people are emotional, it tends to impair their judgment, so it impairs the judgment calls, and often it's the wrong messaging to people. We're talking about self-awareness, understanding one's moods, feelings, emotions, and the impact on others. We're talking about self-regulation, being able to control one's reactions, and that relates really to anger, frustration, irritation, or impatience, all of which get in the way of relationships, of messaging, wrong messaging. The whole point is really to stop and think. We talk about empathy, being able to put oneself in somebody else's shoes so that the message is positioned so that it's more receptive, or it's more receptive to the recipient. We talk about social skills. We talk about the ability to build relationships, diffuse conflict, to be able to communicate effectively, particularly on the listening side. So all of that extremely important, and important in the coaching process from two aspects. Firstly, the coach needs to exhibit these or demonstrate these characteristics to be able to manage coaching situations. And it also enables the development of a relationship of trust and comfort with the coachee. From the point of view of the coachee, one of the things that I have found is that frequently that's an area that requires development. You know, we'll see top executives who'll get to positions through their drive, their performance, their competence, just being very successful. But often that sensitivity, that human touch, or the emotional intelligence is lacking. So the important thing is that those behaviors can be improved if people work at them. So, for example, I've worked with a senior marketing executive, extremely talented, no idea how to manage conflict, certainly initially, or difficult situations, got angry, frustrated, it showed. So we talked through a lot of different situations he'd been in, how to handle them differently. And I'm pleased to say that it's working for him. Another example is with a coachee, absolutely brilliant guy, but emotional when stressed, becomes curt, becomes agitated, and it upsets people. So those are the kinds of things that one becomes aware of and one gets people to work on, be aware of.
Absolutely is, and very, very important because, like you say, keeping the emotions in check and knowing, you know, when to express, when not to, when to hold back, when to not overreact, very, very important. And to show interest, concern, empathy when appropriate as well, support, boost one another, support one another. It isn't just always only about the bottom line. It's about the product and the enjoyment of what's being created together. Very big believer. I like to 2 hours on emotional intelligence. Very topic near and dear to my heart and something that I'm a big supporter and believer of. Success as a coach now. Yeah, it's sort of in my DNA automatically to be very cognizant of it and hopefully show others as well. Every coach can define their successes through a lot of different ways, accolades, awards, comments, feedback, things of that nature. But what do you feel contributes to your specific success, Will, as a coach?
I think it starts with the basics, the coachee's expectations, and really flows then from the successful diagnostics that we talked about. At a personal level, I'd like to think that one's own breadth and depth of business experience makes a difference, and I think understanding business finance is extremely important. I happen to value my financial background there. But very importantly, it's building a relationship of trust, which also means confidence in my ability as a coach to grasp the issues, to understand the business dynamics, and to be able to guide the coachee to understanding the kind of corrective steps, approaches to issues, to solutions. It's also a question of, in fact, asking questions. One doesn't tell the answer. It's important to guide people's responses to get them to the right answer. They need to be able to think through the process. It needs to be a mental experience, actually. And by the way, in many cases, I don't have the answer, and I welcome the brainstorming, the breaking down the issues and exploring them, but creating the safe environment to be able to work through that, where the coachee is able to or willing to open up about his or her concerns, to talk about situations that didn't work, the negative outcomes, to share the issues, the problems, or the conflicts, or in many cases to discuss anticipated situations which could be difficult, to prepare for that. So there are learnings from those real situations, and working through it raises the question about, okay, how do we do it differently? And that really is, I think that contributes significantly. And then we add also that there are, as part of what we call success, there are times to give some tough messages. As a coach, one can't afford to avoid the difficult conversations, but of course there are ways to deliver it. One uses coaching skills. But the whole point, I think, is to deliver a message where the coachee learns, is motivated to do it right. And in particular, to be successful, the coachee has to be committed to working at the changes. So my job really is to remind the coachee of the behaviors to work on and to maintain his or her motivation. And I think the other thing that's important is to create a calm and stable environment, which is essential to the productive discussion, creates comfort between coach and coachee. And I'd like to think that I have some of the social skills and that emotional intelligence that we talked about to be able to make that happen. And by the way, not all assignments are going to be successful. Sometimes one knows that one just shouldn't start one. The other one knows the individual in the organizational context, the problems. Sometimes one sees a lack of commitment or resistance at the beginning. And there are times during an assignment when one may decide this is just not going to work. The person just doesn't have the capacity to go that extra step, for example, to become more strategic or to really improve on the interpersonal skills.
Very important. All of those things are so essential. Why do people need to show integrity and care about others in order for businesses to run successfully? I mean, that sort of ties into that emotional intelligence for a bit. We've got about a little over 2 minutes left to the show. Can't believe how fast it's going.
It really has. Well, let me say simply, in the absence of integrity, there can't be respect for a leader or manager. It undermines trust. It's the wrong values which may prompt decision-making or judgment calls. It creates an unfavorable climate for the team or organization, and there are dangerous implications for business dealings. On the caring for employees, I think it makes for a productive environment. It drives employee engagement. People feel motivated where their managers, their employers, care about them. I have a particular situation with a CEO where she really cares about her people. They know about it, they know about the town halls, and they know that when decisions are made, she cares about the impact on both her leaders as well as the employees at large and their families.
So that's really important as well. It really is incredible, the work that you do. And real briefly, are there any business leaders of our time whom you highly regard and consider great business leaders?
Well, there are lots of them, but I would want to name Warren Buffett, who I think is absolutely amazing. He's a blend of visionary, strategic thinking and innovative thinking. He's been able to acquire companies, let the leadership do their jobs. Ultimately, they're accountable for the jobs. He cares about his stakeholders. I think everybody knows about the famous annual meeting at Omaha with the Oracle of Omaha. And, of course, he's handed most of his enormous wealth over to the Gates Foundation, which is extraordinary. And the other person that I would talk about is Mark Benioff, perhaps far less well-known, but he's the CEO of Salesforce, the CRM organization. Again, visionary, strategic thinking and innovative, cares for his employees, generous benefits, huge opportunities for growth, and there's been tremendous community spirit and funding for children's hospitals, schools, facilities. And as part of his organization's ethos, really, they contribute 1% of their equity and 1% of their product software and 1% of employees' time to charity. So it's that sense of caring which I admire so much in those individuals. And then, of course, you've got Bill Gates and his Gates Foundation, which has done just incredible work all over the world, actually, in emerging countries, in combating disease, also even in public policy areas. So those are the kinds of names that would come to mind.
That's a top-shelf list of names that you've listed off for us all. I agree with them all. Really incredible people making a difference and giving back, successful as you can be. Giving back is what makes it all worthwhile. We're chatting today with Will Brewer. He's founder and president of Performance Solutions Group, exceptional boutique consulting firm based in Stamford, Connecticut. If you would like to connect with Will and the team, all you have to do is go to the website, www.performance-solutions-group.com. Again, performance-solutions-group.com. Also, the email is wbrewer, B-R-E-W-E-R, at performance-solutions.group.com. Will, a pleasure having you with us here on the broadcast. Some great information, and like I said, vital information too. And we wish you continued success in everything you're doing, and hopefully we'll get a chance to break it down and maybe talk about success stories and things of that nature down the line. But it's a pleasure today having you on the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. I enjoyed speaking with you. Thank you.
I did with you as well. You are very, very welcome. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for joining us as well, everybody. Jim Masters here at CU TV News Radio Live. Thank you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. A full schedule of broadcasts throughout the day today on CU TV News Radio Live. We hope you enjoyed this interview, which will be available 24/7 on demand. For all of us here, once again, Jim Masters, thanks for being with us and have a great day.
You've been listening to CU TV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CU TV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.